production.
Welcome everybody to Taking On Sports. I am TD. That is Greg. Greg, how you doing, man?
I am good. How are you today, sir?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good today. Trying to stay warm still here in Birmingham. Is it still pretty cold out there?
Still chilly.
Yeah.
I hear you. We finally up here. We finally got above zero. We got to got up to 23 today.
Hey, that's blistery. That's
right. My foot's out the shorts now.
Yeah, go to the beach. Yeah.
Right.
We're both sitting here. We're just talking. We're both watching this Buffalo to Kansas City game. A good one. Looks like another classic between the two.
Yeah.
Buffalo up 17-13 at halftime. Mm-hmm. The winner, of course, will go to Baltimore next week in the AFC title game. First AFC title game host for the Ravens. The first time it's in Baltimore since 73. Is that what they said on the broadcast? Something like that. Since the Colts hosted the AFC title game before they went on Super Bowl V.
That's crazy to think that every time the y'all are on the road, any time they jump into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's weird. I think it was the same script both times, if I remember. We hosted the first round game and then went on the road. Because in 2000 it was beat the Broncos first round and then beat Tennessee on the road.
And you had to go to Oakland, didn't you?
Oakland, LA, wherever the hell they were then.
And that's when Saragusa.
Yeah, just fell on.
Bonsai dropped. Rich Gannon.
He did. The big splash. Oh, that was before that was illegal, and he could just let his weight fall on
him. Could you imagine when he would get suspended for a couple weeks these days?
That's a lot of weight. Yeah, and then the other one that 2013 season. I think it was Indianapolis. Yeah, obviously went to Denver in the second round. That was a Mile High Miracle, and then beat New England on the road in the title game. And I think we hosted the Colts the first round. I honestly can't remember that. Yeah.
But anyway, regardless. In 2012, I mean, they go on the road to beat at that point still a hell. Because that was Peyton Manning's like season when he was still Peyton Manning, you know. He kind of fell off at the end of that Denver career. Still Peyton Manning, so Flacco to go in there, that's why I play off Joe. that win, and the following week win and beat Brady. That's why. That's a wild run.
Absolutely outstanding run. Yeah, like, but yeah, yesterday, of course, talking about that because yesterday the Ravens, beat the Texans via a dominant second half, a tie ball game at halftime, and apparently Lamar went in and cussed the team out at halftime, and it worked because they came out in second half and smashed them. Great defensive effort. Houston's only touchdown was a punt return touchdown.
Right.
But yeah, Baltimore looking like a number one seed should.
Handle business. Just a little too much for the Texans. That defense in the second half, boy, they really shut down everything. Stroud.
Looked like a rookie for one of the few like times this year.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, did what you guys are supposed to do. So, on the verge of.
I think more importantly, made the adjustments on offense, too, because after a successful first couple of drives. The Ravens got their 10 points fairly quickly. D'Amico Ryans, he calls the defense for them. He made an adjustment, started sending the blitz more, you know, more than he has all year. And it worked for that second quarter. The Ravens offense is really struggling. And then they made the right adjustments at halftime. Cause like you said, they came out, he played an MVP type game. They got the run game going a couple, you know, got all kinds of receivers involved, and it was a, was a good effort. Now the Baltimore waits, either Patrick Mahomes in KC or Josh Allen in Buffalo. So it should be a really good AFC title game.
Yeah, it should be a classic AFC title game.
The other number one seed, of course, the 49ers, they needed a late one to pull it out. Green Bay almost knocked off the 2 seed and then the 1 seed in consecutive weekends.
I was kind of shocked in that game because I really thought then, they really spent their while beating Dallas and San Francisco is just going to run through them. Mm-hmm. Going into that game, that's kind of, I think a lot of people thought that, man, the Packers definitely, held their own there. Jordan Love. And that's one thing about the Packers. At times you say, it was crazy, but the way that they develop quarterbacks is something else, and knowing when to draft them, or because Favre was still a solid quarterback. People thought it was crazy bringing in Aaron Rodgers, and then of course people thought it was crazy bringing in Jordan Love. But I mean, long term, it really worked. I mean, they developed all three well, and brought them in at the right time, and they became starters at the right time in their career. So they've done something well over the last almost three decades there with their quarterback play in Green Bay for sure. Not forcing folks. And
yeah, it's amazing. I was talking about that with some friends last night, how Green Bay has just, they find quarterbacks, man. Aaron Rodgers was kind of everyone. He was kind of a highly regarded prospect, but he had that big slide. Mm-hmm. But then Jordan Love, he had some momentum going into that draft, I remember. But it was a shocking pick when they picked him because everyone thought they'd get a receiver to give Aaron Rodgers some help. And it was controversial.
Yes.
But it looks like they got a man. Yeah, and maybe this is one of those learning experiences. That interception on their last drive was bad. As soon as he threw it, you kind of knew.
You knew it was over, yeah.
Yeah, you can't make that running, to your right, throwing back across your body into the middle of the field, too. I mean, if the 49er who intercepted it didn't get it, there was a guy behind him that had a chance, too. So
they weren't getting another play.
It's crazy because it looked like he had a little room to run, too. At least get a couple yards, get out of bounds, But
I think that's just an inexperience in that type of situation more than anything,
Yep, exactly. So we know that San Francisco and Baltimore, 2-1 seeds, will host the AFC title game. We know San Francisco will host the Detroit Lions today. Held off a feisty Tampa Bay team. It's an exciting time for the Lions. Their first NFC title game appearance since 1991.
Two playoff games.
The Redskins. At that point, the Mark Rippon led team. Rippon. That was an outstanding, a really good team when you look back on that 91 Washington team was actually really good. So there's potential, all kinds of interesting matchups. Potentials you could get a Baltimore San Fran rematch. Could get maybe an old school, the Bills, maybe a Bills Lions for a first ever Super Bowl win guaranteed for somebody. A KC San Francisco rematch from a few years ago. There's lots of KC Detroit rematch from week one, that kind of win that surprising put Detroit on the map.
Kind of set up for the season. Going in the right direction.
Baltimore, of course, has played San Francisco. They've played Detroit as well. They beat the crap out of both of them. So,
But the second time around, as we know, is always much harder.
A Buffalo San Francisco matchup would be interesting too. That was kind of the old Tecmo Bowl match. I always wanted to see when I was younger that Joe Montana offense versus that Jim Kelly, no huddle Bills offense would have been a really fun game.
Yeah. I mean, but, no matter how you play it, I mean, it's gonna lead to a heck of a Super Bowl. Like, mm-hmm. not a matchup to be like, damn, that sucks. You know, you kind of got, you know, four fun teams will be in the, you know, in the championship game. So, I mean, you know, no matter how it plays out, it'll definitely be an entertaining Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, like you said, it should be entertaining Super Bowl, entertaining couple of conference title games next week. Sure. We're in for some exciting pro football here. As far as off the field NFL stuff, we haven't had any real movement on coaching changes. No. Pierce was indeed named the full-time coach by the Las Vegas Raiders, Antonio Pierce. The players seemed really in favor of that move. Yeah, so.
Yeah, so that's great. You know. I think that they learned from last time, you know, if they, you go with the guy mm-hmm. that the people want. They didn't do that the last time with the special teams coach. They made the move this time, and you know, hopefully it'll work out for him there. But you know, he did a heck of a job, because I mean, they could have easily tanked the season, thrown it all away, because mm-hmm. you know, when they at that point when he was named the interim coach, I mean, they were hapless. And they really mm-hmm. took it to a different level. Like,
yeah. And you know, last time we talked, you were in the middle of, you know, toward the end of watching your Cowboys lose to the Packers, as you mentioned. It does look like Mike McCarthy will stay. However, they do not expect him to get an extension.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's
one of those situations is weird, because, you know, almost like you pretty much know that this is the dude's last year. So that's always a weird thing, because if, you know, things don't go right to start off the season, you know, then when people look, oh, are they going to fire him now? Are they going to wait? Like, it brings a whole bunch of other drama. So who knows how that'll play out.
Yeah, definitely gives next season a basically like, hey, get us, you know, I would say, what would you think he needs to do to keep his job next year? Make it to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, NFC title game? What?
NFC title game minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, I think it really would depend on how that goes.
Like if it's a close, hard fought loss,
if they made the NFC title game and you know it's not anything embarrassing, then you know maybe give them additional time. But you know, I think anything less than that, I think they'll move on from them. And you know, the thing is we know he can win in the regular season, so I mean that's not the problem. So that's the toughest thing, is because we'll probably have a successful regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll probably win 11-12 games, as we've done the last 3 years with them, and it'd be a matter of what happens in January. So you know, we'll have a long time before we know whether, you know, it'll, unless things implode out of nowhere, you know, some craziness happens. But you know, realistically, we're not going to know until January, just like, you know, it has been the last couple of years. So, and I mean, I understand I'm not making that move, because, you know, realistically, you know, is anybody going to make that difference? And, you know, I think the thing that really saved him, though, is just how much better Dak was outside of that playoff game. He had a much better 2023 than 22. You know, he threw quite a few interceptions last year, really, you know, got together. And realistically, you know, for a lot of the season was in the MVP race. So, and, you know, at least in that conversation there for a while. So I think that really, really saved him there. But I think that, you know, that I guess my biggest thing is, you know, we just had the worst playoff loss basically in franchise history, and there's not gonna be any changes at all. It's like, oh, okay. Because realistically, I mean, Dan's Quinn, you know, is trying to get a head coaching job, but realistically, he's probably not going to get that call. So more than likely, he comes back as a DC. So.
Yeah, I would say I did see that they are. Oh no, sorry, that's the Eagles are looking like they're gonna fire their defensive coordinator. Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, it's a talented roster. But yeah, it's I'm sure there's a lot of disappointed Cowboy fans out there wanting a
Oh,
change. Like you
yeah,
said,
for
after that loss, let's I guess you just see how that goes next year.
sure.
Hold on a second. My dog is out here raising hell at something. Let me make sure she
Something.
doesn't have some poor animal cornered. All right, we're back. Barking at something in between ours and the neighbor's house. So I'm sure a neighborhood cat or we got some possums love to climb up in the trees and she loves to give them hell and Lord help them if they ever fall in the yard one time because she's got a hold of one before and it was luckily it survived, but
That's funny.
she does not like intruders to her yard.
That's
But
funny.
yeah, what were we talking about? NFL coaching. Like we said, the Eagles will fire their DC, so that'll be another defensive coordinator they're going through.
But
So maybe
my,
Nick Sirianni keeps his job because there was a little bit of smoke that he might
he
not.
was gonna fire, but you know, something really weird happened in Philly because you don't go from 10-1 to being terrible. Like something crazy happened in the locker room because I mean, there's way too much talent there for them to have gotten that bad. They didn't forget how to play football. Like something, and one day we'll find out. And in today's world, it's amazing that the info hasn't slipped out yet because just because of all the social media. But something really strange happened in that locker room because, you know, the last 2 months of the season, I mean, it was like, what is going on? Right? No, at least
Yeah,
it's
the
really
way
weird.
the defense just fell off, the way, you know, the rumblings of AJ Brown was very unhappy, you know, and you know, there's been all kinds of different rumors as to why that is. You know, some say that he was angry that Devontae Smith started getting more targets, or I don't know, whatever. Because you know, again, it was just one of those weird things. Or they started 10-1, defense looked great. You know, they shaky. They weren't playing great football, but they were winning.
They were winning games and they.
And usually, yeah, when you aren't playing well, but you're winning games, you're like, oh, that's a dangerous team because they're gonna, once they put it together, they're really gonna. But
But they're
AJ
not even
Brown
to the
had like what,
12.
like, no, you're crazy,
Nothing.
yeah.
Couldn't get to 12 wins after starting 10-1. That's crazy. And then also, the funny thing is, you know, they point, you know, just. People troll them point to the fact ever since that security guard got kicked off and couldn't be on the field anymore, that's when they started losing their head of security.
Oh, what's his name? Big Dom or something like that? Big something. Oh man, maybe that's it. Maybe he was their good luck charm.
Maybe so, but one day we'll find out what happened in that locker room. But yeah, something pretty deep because too much talent for them to fall off as they did.
Absolutely, yeah. Too much, yeah. That's a stacked roster, and you know,
You don't
and not
go
only
from a Super
that.
Bowl team to that quickly without something weird happening.
Yeah, it was just a weird season. And then that playoff loss Monday night, too, they were ugly. Lifeless. Multiple times the announcers, you know, talked about it during the game about how just kind of uninterested Philly looked in playing the game.
They were there because they had to be there.
Yeah, very flat.
If they could have opted out, I think they may have. Like, there was no interest of being there at all. Like, they were dead.
Yeah. It might have been a real blessing for them that they didn't play that game in front of the home crowd, because, Philly crowd.
That Philly crowd. Boy, that would have been brutal.
But, yeah, they're out there. And, of course, we haven't had any other fillings beside Las Vegas. Mm. Atlanta has talked to Bill Belichick twice. It looks like they're going to talk to Jim Harbaugh a second time.
Mm-hmm. He's already talked to the Chargers, we know.
Mm-hmm. And you would think maybe that's – if he wants to jump back into the pros, I think the Chargers roster seems to be the perfect situation.
Place to go. Mm-hmm. And then also, I mean, just with – and you would have to think as well, I mean, there's less pressure there just because of the history. I think they would give Jim Harbaugh some time. You know, they're not going to just – I would think that they would – because, I mean, they have a talented roster, but overall, I mean, the history of the Chargers, I mean, it's been – like, if you're a Chargers fan, like, that's been some painful years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just been
To have Philip Rivers for so long and, you know – well, really, if you look even
– for so long. And,
yeah, going back, you even had a young Drew Brees because they drafted Drew Brees.
Yeah, they did draft Drew Brees.
He had him till he had a shoulder injury, and then Philip Rivers comes in.
Yeah.
And he's there for ever and a day. And then you go from him to Justin Herbert, really. Right. To have all those guys. Yeah, LaDainian, like you mentioned, Antonio Gates, you know, one of the better tight ends ever. This a great receiver duo, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. There's been no shortage of talent on that team.
Yeah.
And just always falling short. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't even know if they've made a AFC title game during that time, honestly.
Because I remember the last time that they were really good. I remember LaDainian Tomlinson, and they lost to the Patriots, but yeah, I think that was a division round. And it was like,
I remember. They beat Lamar in his rookie season in the first round, the wild card round, but I'm pretty sure they lost the next week in the divisional. Mm-hmm. Couldn't tell you who. Yeah. Just one of those things. But yeah, and then,
For most of Philip Rivers' career, it seemed like he was always in the game. Mm-hmm. And then he would throw a late pick, and then it would go to 60 minutes on CBS. So it seemed that would be the
yep. He threw the pick. All right.
On the 60 minutes. See you next
week. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, like we said, the Falcons look to be – it seems that Harbaugh and Belichick are going to Atlanta and Los Angeles in either or some capacity.
Yeah. You would think, if neither team went with either, I'd be shocked. It just seems like it's just, just with the amount of interviews, attention. And that, you know, there's a lot of talent in Atlanta if you get the QB situation right. I mean, they have Bijan Robinson. Of course, the tight end that the Falcons forgot is even on the team. I don't understand that at all still. I mean, there's some young talent on that Falcons team. If you can put it all together, I mean, they could be good. And still, the division isn't strong. Like, I mean, you could easily win that division if you're playing good football. as a team. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you talk about Atlanta. They just need quarterback. Because they got a stack. You know, that's a lot of weapons on that. A lot of young weapons in that offense.
They have a lot.
Whoever they get in, I'm sure that the fantasy owners across the land are just praying that they unlock Kyle Pitts' potential.
Yes, because what I still don't understand, like, how does he not get used? Like, I mean, his rookie year he got used, and since then he hasn't been used. We know how good he is. He's still in Florida. I mean, he has the potential to be a, you know, just like Kansas City uses Kelce, you know, just very similar fashion. I mean, he's gonna be, you know, against safeties and linebackers, he's gonna eat on that all day. Like, give the man the
Yeah,
ball.
he's got wide receiver skill set and a tight end's body. You know, he's a mismatch everywhere on the field. Yeah, he's too fast for linebackers and most safeties, and he's too big for cornerbacks.
Throw the
It's
ball up. Let him go.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, do the like Isaiah Likely last night. You know, the Ravens game, that first pass Lamar threw to him in the end zone was incomplete, almost picked off, and you saw he made a little message like, "Hey, throw it up top." And later in the game, sure enough, that's what Lamar did, and he just went up and over.
You know, Kyle Pitts will definitely bring that if he's given
Exactly,
the
yeah.
opportunity to do so. You
Yeah,
have
give
to
him
you moved up in the draft to get him. Use that, man. Like, I don't understand. Like, you literally picked him at what, six in the draft that year? A tight end at six rarely happens. So obviously the intention was to use him and make him a
Yeah.
cornerstone of your franchise. And why they haven't, nobody knows. I don't
And
think.
if you have some issue with him that you're not letting
Move
out
him.
public, yeah,
Somebody will
trade him.
go get some
You can get
value back.
yourself, you could probably get a first round pick for him still, if not at least a
I
second and
mean,
then multiple picks, you know, maybe a
he's still a
second and
young
like a
guy. He's
exactly.
still young. I mean, he's healthy. He hadn't been hurt. Like, someone will be thrilled to get a Kyle Pitts on their team.
Yeah, the NFL is a second and third chance league, and
Yeah, for sure.
as long as you're not a quarterback. I say quarterbacks is a little different sometimes. They
Yeah, sometimes depends on who you are.
get eaten alive, but
But
yeah. So they're
yeah.
still out there, you know, and just pairing him with Bijan Robinson, Drake London. Yeah, there's so much
Oh, so much
talent on
talent.
that offense.
Man.
New Orleans, or excuse me, Carolina. Another team looking for a coach, as an Alabama Bryce Young fan, we just pray that it's an offensive coach that can. Either way, they need to get some offensive linemen and some skill players in there. That's a
Yeah, they do. But really, I mean,
that's more of a personnel thing. Yeah.
the biggest problem really seems to be that owner. I mean, he seems ridiculous. Just a
Yeah.
time bomb. Always ready to get upset at something. Yes, I do. Like, chill out. Like, obviously you're not. Like, you gotta let. Like, as an owner, you put football guys in place to make football moves. Like, but things happen. Obviously, when you bought the team, you knew it wasn't in a good spot. You have to have patience and allow someone people to step in and make the necessary changes in order to get where you want to be. It's not an overnight project in Carolina. Like, you knew that when you bought the team. Like, why are you acting like this? Like, chill.
Yeah. Yeah, David Tepper, probably among the worst owners in the league. But we
Because
also have
he's not even a funny owner. Like, you know,
no, yeah.
at least like Jerry will give you a great quote and everyone wants to interview him. This dude is just ridiculous.
This dude's he's just an asshole throwing drinks at people. Yeah.
Just say, come on, bro.
Yeah, don't throw drinks. It's a easy it's an easy thing to do. Of course, the Seahawks out there looking for a coach. We'll see there. The Titans, of course, after the weird firing of Mike Vrabel. That's another coach, you know, we talk about whoever doesn't get
Well,
Belichick or
anybody
Harbaugh, Mike Vrabel's right there too.
right there. I definitely take a. That's the one I definitely. I'm not a fan of always, recycling the same names, but that's one I definitely give a second chance to. Because for the most part, I mean, the Titans are the Titans, and he made the Titans kind of what they are. Like, I mean, he's had some success. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what. Who did they really thought was going to come in and be better than him? Well, we'll see that as well. So,
That's the thing. They've made some front office decisions that are weird. The AJ Brown trade, you know, throwing that big contract, you know, at Julio Jones.
Yeah. You know, DeAndre Hopkins really doesn't fit their offensive scheme at all.
No. They're potentially letting Derrick Henry go.
I mean, he gave his goodbye like speech.
Yeah, and there's been rumors that, like, oh, he could resign, but yeah, he's giving goodbye speeches at the game, you know?
At the last game of the season, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Some weird situation going on in Nashville, too. And then, of course, there's the Commanders. Who knows? They have a lot of – they're another franchise that needs a quarterback. They probably need a lot. That's probably another project there.
But at the same time, though, that may be a better, you know, that might actually not be a bad spot to go, because, you know, it's a new owner, so you're not dealing with the same BS that has been around, you know. So, you know, you have new owners, and, you know, really overall, you know, a proud franchise. I mean, they've had plenty of history over the, you know, it's just been ugly the last, you know, 10 years or so, and just hasn't been what they really and then where they wanted to be. But I mean, there's a lot of, there's potential there, but yeah, definitely want to get a quarterback, because they're one that, I don't know, they just have had game managers and no one that you believe can take it to that next level over the last couple of seasons.
But yeah, so aside from the playoffs, you know, a lot of big things happening in the NFL.
A lot of moves.
I'd imagine this week. Yeah, I was about to say, I'd imagine this week a few of them will be made. Unless maybe there's some coordinators. I know a lot of talk about Ravens offensive and defensive coordinator Todd Monken and Mike McDonald. A lot of talk about them.
I was thinking watching the game yesterday, McDonald, I would think that he'd be a hot commodity after what he this turnaround of that Ravens defense this year has been
crazy. Then there's not only that, I'm sure there's some position coaches being talked about, but getting upgrades to coordinator roles. This could be one of those, like, the Ravens really need to win it this year because their staff might be picked apart this offseason. Of course, I saw a funny video today, a little underground Ravens fans movement, and it was like, to all these people thinking about, you know, hiring Mike McDonald, how could you? You would hire this man after what he did? That's disgusting. And just basically trying to create these fake rumors so that nobody takes him out of Baltimore.
That's great.
It is, yeah. But yeah, moving on. That's pretty good in NFL talk, I think. We're watching this. KC's now got a 20-17 lead over Buffalo. We know San Fran, Detroit next week, and Baltimore hosting the winner of this game. So, like we said, it's just going to be a fun weekend of football next Sunday.
For sure.
Moving with our college game, some off-field stuff.
It was a very up and down week in Tuscaloosa. Let me tell you,
it was indeed.
Every day was something, right?
Kalen DeBoer rounding out his staff. We got Kane Womack, USA, the South Alabama head coach, will come on to be our defensive coordinator. And then later in the week, we learned it's actually going to be a co-defensive coordinator role because we took Buffalo's head coach, Maurice Linguist. And then later in the week, they added to the staff his name. I can't find right now a story on it. But
guy from Wisconsin.
Yeah, the defensive backs coach from Wisconsin who worked on the Cincinnati staff a few years ago when they had the number one ranked pass defense. We're bringing him on as a DB's coach. So the defensive staff. Yeah, big recruiter too. So the defensive staff taking shape now. Kalen DeBoer's staff in general taking shape. So I think, you know, a lot of doom and gloom from Alabama fans this week because Kalen Downs, he is now an Ohio State Buckeye. Julian Sayin out of nowhere decommitted from the Tide, and now he is an Ohio State Buckeye.
They've been spending a lot of money in that Columbus.
Our left tackle, Kalen Proctor, goes to where all football linemen would love to go, Iowa. He is from Iowa, yeah. So that's why. Big part of that decision.
And that's where he was originally committed to.
Mm-hmm. An interesting video he released today, though, where he was being talked to. Somebody talking to him at a basketball game, I believe, is where he was. And
at the Iowa game yesterday, yeah.
And he mentioned that they had actually contacted him during the middle of the season, which is a no-no.
Like, bro. So, he said, we still believe in you. What? What's going on here?
I wonder... If Greg Byrne might have been paying attention to that, might call the NCAA office and be like, hey, guys. Coming in, though, Alabama gets a couple of Washington transfers, as expected. Mm-hmm. Former four-star QB Austin Mack, familiar with Kalen DeBoer's system, comes. So that replaces Sane, or maybe we knew Sane was out. The reason he went to Ohio State, Julian Sane, is because they have hired Bill O'Brien as their offensive coordinator. And he apparently was a big in the recruitment of Sane coming to Alabama. Yes.
Interesting. But it's been a lot with that. Because, you know, with Julian, you know, I know a lot of Alabama fans were upset with that. We got Mac, and then, you know, next morning, Julian. And, you know, there's a lot of folks that say that basically, and who knows how true it is, that DeBoer and them basically didn't think Julian fit what they want to do, didn't have what they're looking for. I don't know how you do that with him being the best quarterback in the thing, but obviously they believed in their guy to bring him in, and he was happy to come to Tuscaloosa before knowing himself that Julian was moving on. But I have to think that in some way, DeBoer had to have known that Julian was thinking about leaving, because I don't think you just bring Mac in if you truly believe that he was going to be the future of the Alabama program.
No, absolutely. I think with a lot of these transfers, a lot of people know more ahead of time, so they're not taken off, you know, so shocked by it.
It's more shocking for the fans than, of course, than the you know, the coaching. I think a lot of people in the program kind of knew what was coming. But
Yeah, DeBoer and his guys are in there. They're talking to these guys. They know.
Yeah.
You know, they're talking to the old staff, you know, a little bit. You know, Saban's still there. He's probably giving them like, hey, yeah, this guy's probably wants to go with O'Brien now, which, yeah, your laugh was the same response I had.
Yeah.
A lot of people laughing at Bill O'Brien. A lot of Ohio State fans online being like, oh, we'll look at his defensive rankings. And then a lot of Alabama fans being like, you know, you should wait till the games happen. Like, wait till.
Because I saw, like, for all of a sudden, like, some weird, I get all type of, like, things on my timeline. Like, I saw some bug nuts group talking about Bill O'Brien, look at his stats. He averages over 41 points a game in Alabama. Let's take it. Good luck with that, guys. Good luck with that. When the game's on the line, you're going to be pissed off in the red zone. Trust me.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of head-scratching moments for important calls. That we'll just let them have that fun. It's like when Ole Miss fans got excited they were taking – Pete Golden from us, and Alabama fans are like, okay, yeah, have fun with that.
You have him, and we'll happily send Pete to you.
Yeah.
What I was going to say on that Ohio State side of things, though, Ryan Day definitely feeling the pressure because he's bringing in a lot of big names. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the Ole Miss running back Judkins, you know, getting Caleb Downs, you know, getting Julian, like, you know, it's pressure. If things don't work out this year, and let's say they lose to Michigan again, he might definitely be on the way out. I know that pressure is definitely building, and obviously he felt it with the additions that he's made this offseason. A lot of talent added, for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, for Julian saying maybe, you know, I will say this, you know, We do have to give Bill O'Brien some credit. Bryce Young won a Heisman Trophy under him.
He did.
That's, you know, of course, a lot has been made about how Bill O'Brien has no championships with, what, 8 years working under Bill Belichick and Nick Saban. Yeah, that's your response. But going back to saying, Bill O'Brien's offense is pretty much, hey, Bryce, run around and do something cool. And so if Julian Sain's got improvisational skills and, you know, he can make stuff happen like that, then, yeah, he might have success in that offense. Ohio State fans, again, you will be driven crazy. But Julian Sain might actually have some impressive stats. But, of course, this isn't fantasy. You need more than stats to win championships. You need to
finish the game when the game's on the line. And you trust in Bill O'Brien's play calling. Man. And then also just his lack of creativity was mind-blowing in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, frustrating. I mean, not getting –
you had Jahmyr Gibbs.
And he got near enough touches. Yeah.
I mean, we saw what he did today. Yeah,
I think he's the one why, you know, because so many people were surprised that the Lions took Gibbs so high, and a lot of Alabama fans, and I'm sure Georgia Tech fans too, where he played for three seasons, were like, no, this guy's legit talent. Bill O'Brien just didn't use him right.
No. I mean, he was a star before he came to Tuscaloosa. He wasn't as well known because he was at Georgia Tech, but he was a star. He had a highlight reel at Georgia Tech.
Yeah, and he is a full five-tool back. He can, you know, he's not a great power back, but, you know, he handed the ball off in a power formation. He can find a hole. He's a great receiving back.
He's today's version of Marshall Faulk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he is a poor man's Marshall Faulk, but with the talent potential and the right offense to actually have a Marshall Faulk-type career.
Because I think he's actually faster. But
yeah, he might have more top end speed than Marshall did. Marshall was a shifty guy.
Yeah, he was a shifty guy. Maybe a little more powerful, but
yeah, maybe in today's maybe a little bit better
in today's game, that's probably the best comparison I could think of. But
but also coming in back to Alabama, we got the center from Washington, Parker Brailsford, which is huge. He is a redshirt freshman, started 15 games this year, two at right guard, then switched to center for the rest of them, all Pac-12 second team. He's got 3 years left of eligibility.
And he knows how to hike the ball.
Yeah, exactly. He knows how to snap it. Big pickup for Alabama. You hope they can also pull in Jabbar Muhammad, the cornerback.
Yeah.
Would be huge for, you know, really thin.
And it looks like we just pulled their wide receiver tonight as well.
Oh, really?
His name slips me right now. He had about 400 and some yards in that offense last season there. Bernard.
And they have another freshman. They have another freshman running or lineman too that I'm sure Bama fans would like to get.
But the wide receiver Bernard had about 425. I think he's like the third or fourth option last year. So, and obviously he could definitely shine in Tuscaloosa. Yeah, but you were saying, if we get Muhammad, I mean, you know, he started his career at Oklahoma State, but really, I mean, he took it to another level this past year in Washington. You know, every week he was going up against the number one and held his own in a lot of situations there. You know, especially you saw, you know, a lot of people nationally probably didn't really know him until that Sugar Bowl, but I mean, he held his own against the Texas wide receivers. So I mean, that would be huge if we're able to get him. But I know he went to Texas, and he, of course, was in Tuscaloosa. And then, of course, I think he's going to Oregon before he makes his final decision. So we'll see how it plays out there. But hopefully he had a good enough relationship with Coach DeBoer and his staff that, you know, he can really consider coming to Tuscaloosa because, yeah, our secondary, just with the amount that we lost in the draft, and Transfer, yeah, we definitely would be a much very welcome in Tuscaloosa for sure.
Yeah,
With the
absolutely.
experience he has. Because we have a lot of young talent, but a lot of unproven talent.
A very young, outside of Malachi Moore, yeah, there's a lot of inexperienced youth in that secondary now.
Yeah, I like.
I guess moving on, I was pretty much trying to think about anything else maybe from the college ranks this week. Not much. Anything you think we missed?
Well, I was shocked that the quarterback at Arizona, staying at Arizona, you know, with that coaching change. It came across yesterday at some point that he and the wide receiver or running back are staying at Arizona. So, I mean, kudos to those guys. You know, I'm sure as tough as it's been for Wildcat fans as of late losing their coach who resurrected a program, I mean, to at least be able to keep your Heisman potential quarterback, I mean, that's huge for the new coach and staff for sure.
They did get Washington had a I believe a quarterback recruit follow Jed Fish up there. Yeah, Damond Williams Jr. looks like a and so he was signed or committed at least in this class, but now he will follow him to Washington. Of course, Washington had Will Rogers, and then he went back into the portal after DeBoer left. So that'd be interesting. He's one of the bigger, probably the biggest names still in the portal. As far as that goes, that's still interesting to see where he might end up.
He might, you know, with the coaching staff coming in, he might just stay there. Maybe you're just being. Who was brought to Washington? Who knows?
Exactly. You know, maybe just kind of be a 1 year starter while that freshman either red shirts or just, you know, backs him up. So we'll see. Yeah, that's a interesting thing. But moving on, I guess. Let's see. We'll stay in a college game, but we'll move to Alabama hoops. Midweek, good win over Missouri. Yeah, with a little chippy. a little chippy, a little controversy with Coach Oates putting his hand on a player, a Missouri player that was in the Alabama huddle and kind of pushed him. And then yesterday they went on the road to Knoxville and wasn't good. You know, top 10 Tennessee team, a big win. Just sloppy. I don't even know how many turnovers they had in the end, but Alabama
22.
Just looked 22 turnovers
22
looked hard.
Turnovers,
extremely sloppy.
And it just was over from the get-go. I mean, after that original, they went up 16-6 real quick, and after that it was just kind of, that was the end of the day. Like, it was everything that could have went wrong went wrong, and we never rebounded. You know, we were known for having a good second half push through the start of this SEC season, and it wasn't any of that. Outside of Spears 22, I mean, no one was even in double digits beside him. Tennessee defense shut down everybody. I think we were 19% from the 22 turnovers and 19% from the 3-point. That's going to kill us every time, especially against a team like Tennessee on the road.
With that defense too, you don't need to give Tennessee's defense any help and
anything. You pretty much have to play a perfect game in Thompson Bowling Arena to win on the road there. Like we would have had basically the energy that we saw through the, especially in the second half against Missouri with Spears scoring his 22, other people, you know, giving up 12, 14 points to even make it a game. And we completely fumbled that one. I mean, it was just was a, you almost want to throw it away because, I mean, everything was just so off. I mean, I don't know what you really gain from looking at that tape. I mean, it was just a terrible game. Like, But you know, we big game coming up Wednesday. Coming in town, you know, and you know, you would hope the crowd will be ready to go. You know, hopefully the energy will be much different. But I mean, through the first four games of the SEC season, the energy was great when the team, you know, the defensive energy was good. You know, really dead yesterday, but I would think, you know, they'll be ready to go again Wednesday. And you know, that would be a huge, huge way to end the month of January.
Yeah, you hope that, like you said, this is just one of those games where you just kind of don't even look at the tape. You're just like, all right, hey, that was a shit game, guys. Forget about it, and let's play like we know how to play.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you mentioned Auburn coming to town this Wednesday, huge one. They'll see Tennessee again.
In March,
late in the regular season. So, but yeah, turn your focus to Auburn. Hand them their first SEC loss. Hopefully, they're coming off. They're coming in, like you said, hot. They a bunch of blowout wins so far.
11 wins in a row. Yeah, they slaughtered Ole Miss. Slaughtered Ole Miss Saturday. So.
Slaughtered Ole Miss, a big win over Vanderbilt before that, a big win over, you know, LSU and A&M before, you know, they really haven't played a close game in the SEC.
No, they only lost two
games. You know, they lost at Appalachian State, lost to Baylor to begin the season. Yeah, it is a weird little football would make more sense. but yeah, this is good. A good Auburn team.
They are a good team.
You're lucky you're at home, so hopefully,
take advantage of the crowd. The energy be crazy because, I mean, of course, a lot of people there, even, you know, not even the biggest basketball fans will be there because it's the, you know, with the Iron Bowl trophy, and of course, Nick Saban will be there. So, man, it'll be a good atmosphere. Hopefully, the team feeds off that energy and gets off to a hot start and comes out with that win. As much needed.
Let's see. Elsewhere, not nearly as crazy a week in college hoops as it was last week. A couple upsets, but nothing huge. You know, West Virginia, I guess the biggest one, upset Kansas. Of course, West Virginia is that kind of place. No matter the sport, it seems like when you go to Morgantown, you better watch out. Texas is... head coach, what's his face? Rodney Terry had a weird rant after they had a horns down rant about UCF doing and the horns down in the line. And I mentioned this because they're coming to the SEC, and all week, you know, the talk about that online was basically like, oh, you guys aren't ready for SEC culture if you get this upset about your little hand signal. Because the SEC is not going to, they're not going to make the hands down thing unsportsmanlike penalty. The horns down, you know, they're going to, players, and now when you do stuff like this, so you know what's going to happen in every arena that you visit next week. Yeah. You're going to have the whole crowd. They're going to have signs. They're going to have giant horns down, you know, flags. You did yourself no favors there.
Yeah, especially, I mean, you're on your way out of the Big 12. Everybody who's staying in the Big 12 would love to beat you on the way out. Yeah, you definitely did no favors for your team. And, yeah, coming to the SEC – boy, the trolling is different. they haven't seen anything yet if they thought that was bad. Like, yikes.
I just kind of want to mention that. I thought that was pretty funny. Like,
hilarious.
You guys better get a little thicker skin there.
You might want to keep that to yourself.
not doing yourself a favor there.
Because at the end of the day, you know how you stop that horns down? You win the game.
You win the game and you don't care. But how you shut them up, man. Because I guarantee it, you're not as bothered by all the horns downs. Yeah, like you said, when you're winning the game, if you're collecting trophies and rings,
that matter to you at all.
Yeah. NBA, I don't think any huge news from this past week. Pascal Siakam is now a Pacer.
Pacer, yeah.
Interesting three-team trade between them, Toronto, and New Orleans kind of randomly in the mix. Mm-hmm. Former Alabama guard Kyra Lewis Jr. is in Toronto as well. I think New Orleans is basically in there as a cash luxury tax mm-hmm. thing getting under there. Yeah. Indiana gets Pascal Siakam, a big player for them, a future second-round pick. Toronto in return gets Bruce Brown, Kyra Lewis, Jordan Nwora, 2024 first round picks. So
yeah,
that'll be interesting. And then a 2026 first rounder.
They got quite the haul for Pascal and Siakam. I mean, he's a good player, but man, it's a lot.
Yeah.
I guess this is going completely. I guess this is a complete rebuild in Toronto now.
Yeah, looks like they're resetting there.
This is it's a decent run there.
Yeah, interesting trade. I thought Indiana was kind of a weird team for Siakam to go to, but we'll see how it works for them. Right. You know, the East can, you know, obviously Boston's a big bad in there, and then Philly's, you know, is always you have to go through them at some point, and then Miami come playoff time. But
they're different team. Yeah.
I think the East is there to be had. Oh, Buffalo faking a punt, and it's not working. Ooh, interesting. So KC with a 3-point lead will get the ball in. Pretty solid territory. That was on their like own 30 or so. That's an interesting decision right there.
Jeez.
I don't know if they saw something that didn't work out though. That could be potentially
a
game turner right there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. KC could go up 10 here and go up two scores.
Yeah, that's wow. We'll see how this plays out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, other than that, NBA is just humming along. I really don't have anything else in my notes from the world of sports, looking at everything. Anything we missed you want to talk about?
Not really. Everything's kind of, we're just in for a great,
yep. Down first and goal for KC now.
That's a great... I don't know. That might have. I don't know. It's way too early in the game to be doing stuff like that.
Yeah, there's still 12 some minutes left in the.
Yeah, we're only down game. Three.
Unless you just feel like your defense absolutely cannot stop Kansas City, but then why do you want to give them a short field?
The chance of a very short field. First and goal. From the two. Yep.
And here goes. Is that a fumble out of bounds there? Or is he down? No, they're going to say he was down at the one, it looks like.
Oof.
Wow. But I'm sure that could get challenged here. And it looks like a couple of Bills players calling for the coach to challenge him.
You definitely have to look at it. Because he rolls over on him.
Ooh, that's close.
Oh, whoa. You definitely have to take a look at it. Nice.
Yeah, that's interesting. That could be a big break for Buffalo because that ball was fumbled out of the end zone, so they'd get the ball.
And that's, I don't know, that's another rule that I think is really weird in the NFL. That touchback rule, but it's so close.
Yeah. I guess the only other sports thing I have of note happened today, actually. The first amateur to win in 33 years on the PGA Tour won today, Nick Dunlap. And I say this is notable because he is a sophomore at Alabama.
Yeah,
so roll tide, Nick.
Tide to that man.
First amateur winner on the tour since a guy named Phil Mickelson won the Tucson Open in 91.
That's quite the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good list to be on. So good for you, Nick. Roll Tide. I wonder how that works with amateurism and the prize money there. So you put it in a little account. Maybe you can't have this money until you're pro.
In today's world, who knows?
I was about to say, with NIL, who knows how that works? Yeah.
Who knows how that works in today's world?
Nobody knows. We just know that Ohio State has spent a lot of money.
They have. Yeah, they definitely spent a lot of money. Yeah. Got a lot of talent. Let's see how it plays out.
I'm actually seeing that Nick Dunlap is in the portal, and he will be going to Ohio State. No.
Let's go to Ohio State Buckeye, the golf team.
The golf team, yeah. But no, yeah, I think that should do it for us this week. What's been done up real good for you, Greg?
You know, done up for me really good. My daughter went to a competition yesterday. It's an academic kind of team contest they go to. She's one of the few freshmen out there and held her own in the team team competition where they get 12 crazy questions that they answered, and the team got like 9 or 10. And after her round, they were actually leading the competition, and the team after them kind of let them down. They lost by one, but I was proud of her efforts, sir. You know, being a freshman and really her first time in this type of competitions. You know, I think this is like her second or third time doing it. So you know, I was pretty impressed. I mean, I couldn't tell you any of those questions. Any of those answers, I was like, what are we even talking about right now? But it was pretty cool to see. How about you?
I guess I'll give mine this week to it was nice for the Ravens to win a big playoff game, Lamar to get a big playoff win. I'm sure the Lamar haters will find a way to move the goalposts this week. Yeah. You know, I'm sure, especially with considering that he'll either face Josh Allen or Pat Mahomes, it'll be like, oh, well, mm-hmm. can he beat, you know, one of these quarterbacks and say, all right, well.
Oh, sure. Wow.
They ruled it a fumble. Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's fair.
A huge break for the Bills. Let's see here. Here it is. Oh, yeah. He punched out just a second before he hits the ground.
Wow.
Oh, wow. So great. Great play by there. Who was that on Buffalo's defense? Douglas that made that play?
Mm-hmm.
I can't
so.
See. 21, yeah.
21.
So that's huge. So after that the questionable, really just straight up bad fake punt call.
Saved right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't see it rolling to the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So that gives the Bills new life down 3. 12 minutes ago, well, that first down play didn't work, but.
Yeah, so 12 minutes ago, and much different situation than look, because, yeah, going down 10 to Kansas City, that's not where you want to be.
Poyer, that's the name of the player that knocked it out.
Yeah.
They were the.
Plays this season.
But say, yeah, most in the NFL, they were the leading takeaway defense, so doing their job. But yeah, sometimes that's all you need in the modern game.
That's all you need, for sure.
But that should do it for us, folks. As always, subscribe, give us a good rating, tell your friends, tell your rich friends. Check out all the links below where we post this. We have links to all of our social media accounts, to our store where you can get some Taken On Sports T-shirts, and they have all kinds of weird stuff. T-shirts, long sleeve T-shirts, sweatshirts, mouse pads. If anybody actually still uses those, all kinds of fun stuff. Ooh, big hit there. We said, check out all the podcasts on the Alabama Take family of podcast. big things happening. I guess the Rumble is next Sunday.
Rumble next Saturday, yeah.
Saturday, yeah, that's right. They moved into Saturdays now. So I'm sure the guys over the Alabama Slam will preview that this week. But yeah, check out alabamatake.com for some writings and such occasionally as well. Greg, bud, take it easy.
Thanks, sir.